So as I said, today we remember Palm Sunday. It marks the beginning of one of the most important weeks in the Christian calendar. It starts with this glorious triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And 5 days later, Jesus makes the greatest sacrifice ever for humankind, giving himself up to death on the cross, before 3 days later being raised from the dead by God to give us eternal life, to forgive us our sins, to forgive us our wrongs, and to complete one of the many promises that God has made for us. This is a very special week. Jesus makes this wonderful entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, which would not have been an unusual event in that day. This week, the week before the beginning of the Passover festival, it's a significant and important event in the Jewish calendar that is still celebrated today, it is still remembered. Pilgrims will still go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover because that's what they believe. And in this time, 2,000 years ago, the time when Jesus was around, many pilgrims would have been going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. But yet somehow, this particular Sunday is extra special. Somehow, this person riding on a donkey with the crowds, his entry is something slightly different. It gets the crowds stirred up. I wonder, have any of you ever made a big entrance into a place and everybody's turned round and looked at you and said, "Hey, what?" Anybody done anything like that? Yes? No? Maybe it was a school play, yeah? Wedding day, yeah, that was one of the ones I thought, yeah, your wedding day. You beautiful ladies. On your wedding day, for those that have been married, do you remember how beautiful you looked? And maybe if you got married in the church, you came in and walked down the aisle and everybody looked at you and said, "Oh, isn't she lovely?" Or words to that effect. You made your big entrance. It's all right for us men, isn't it? We just stand at the top of the church and wait and say, "Come on, hurry up, come on." I wasn't going to say that. I was not going to say that. But yeah, it could be something like that, couldn't it? Walking down there and making a big entrance. Maybe you were in a school play, school production, or a church production, and you had to make a grand entrance. And everybody looked round. It's a lot more exciting with those school plays than that, doesn't it? If you get it in at the wrong time. And everybody says, "What? What are you doing here?" But this wasn't what we had with Jesus, was it? This was exactly as God had planned. Palm Sunday was the event, the plan, the grand entrance from Jesus. It was planned by God. It's referred to in the Old Testament many, many times. The psalm that I read at the beginning of the service, that refers to the entry into Jerusalem. If you go back about 500 years before the birth of Jesus, Zechariah, one of the prophets, is called one of the minor prophets in the Bible. In chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was predicted 500 years by God through the prophet Zechariah. Jesus knew at this time that this was his time to complete God's mission for him on earth. He knew what he was going to head towards. He knew that this entry would be important into Jerusalem. Jesus had been warning his disciples many times that he would not be with them all the time. There will be a time when the disciples will be left without Jesus in his physical presence here on earth. And the disciples, being the disciples which are like us, they didn't understand it. They couldn't get their heads around it. Jesus was their leader. He was their leader. The one that they looked up to, he was going to stay with them because he was teaching them. And they didn't understand this. Jesus knew. The disciples and Jesus were, of course, good Jews. They were brought up in the Jewish tradition. They knew that the festival of Passover was important, the festival that reminds them of their release from slavery in Egypt. And we'll look at that during the week. And they also knew that Jerusalem was the place where Jewish pilgrims wanted to get to. So I get the feeling that when Jesus said, "All right, we're going to head off to Jerusalem now," they thought, "Great! We're going to Jerusalem. We're going up to the place where we're supposed to go as Jews. We're going to get our brownie points. We're going to be absolutely brilliant." And they would have joined the crowd of many other pilgrims heading to Jerusalem from wherever they were coming. But despite all the warnings that Jesus had given them, the disciples did not understand how special and different this week, this entry into Jerusalem is going to be. The group set out, and about 2 miles from the city walls of Jerusalem, they stop. They stop at the village of Bethpage, at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And maybe the disciples thought, "Oh, good, we can catch our breath. We can have a rest, recover." The Mount of Olives would have given them some shade. And then Jesus tells two of his disciples, we're not told which two, and in a way it doesn't matter, to go on ahead into the village, and there they will find a colt, a donkey, that's never ever been ridden. To collect it and bring it back to Jesus. Oh, and by the way, if somebody challenges you, just say the Lord needs it. The disciples, I think by this time, this is my opinion, you can disagree, of course, are used to following instructions from Jesus. Jesus says, go here and you'll find this and you'll find this and you'll find this. And they think, don't be stupid. And they go there and they find it exactly as he said. So I think right now, after 3 years of following Jesus, I think they just accept it and they go on. We're not told what happens. But we do know that the disciples go ahead. They go into the village. They wander in. They find the donkey and the colt. An unridden donkey. Tied up. And they just untie it and start taking it away. Naturally, the owner thinks, what on earth's going on here? And he asks very politely, apparently, what are you doing? We don't know the exact words that are said. I'll leave it up to you to decide. But they just turn round and they say, the Lord needs it. And the owner says, okay. You carry on. It was on that video, wasn't it? Just, okay, you carry on. Bring it back in good condition, please. It will help. And they bring the donkey to Jesus, presumably back at the Mount of Olives. And then to help Jesus have a more comfortable ride, they put their cloaks on the donkey. And Jesus gets on, and they start their ride towards Jerusalem, towards the city walls, towards his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Excuse me. As they get near the city walls, the crowds start gathering around. And they realize that this is Jesus, the one who is going to be king, the one who's going to make changes. This is somebody special. And then they look down at the road. Well, this is my opinion. They look down at the road surface. Now, you'll know that those days they didn't have tarmac roads. They weren't exactly the smooth. They were just trails. They were full of stones. It was dusty ground. It was horrible. It would have been awkward for a donkey to walk on and for the people to walk on. And so what do they do, the crowds? They start taking off their coats and putting them on the ground. They get hold of palm branches like these, and they just put them on the ground to make it easier for the donkey to walk on, make it smoother, softer, easier journey. As I say, they didn't have tarmac roads, and they didn't even have the potholes that we have today, but they made the ground as soft as possible. It would have helped this donkey. Remember, this donkey, it's the first time it's been ridden. It's not used to having a weight on its back. But somehow it copes all right. And this, of course, is not the first time that Jesus has ridden on a donkey. If you think back to just before Jesus was born and Mary and Joseph travelling up to Bethlehem, there is a widest account that Mary rode on a donkey because it was nearly time for her birth. So technically, this is the second time that Jesus rides on a donkey in the Bible. Technically, somebody will probably disagree with me, but I don't mind about that. But Jesus rides in. And the great thing, everybody is coming along and shouting and realizing that this is special. There is something different about this person. And they start singing, the crowd singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Great singing, great joy, great noise. Everybody is excited. Well, not exactly. There's always going to be the party pooper, isn't there? There's always going to be one or two people or a group of people that are not happy with something, especially if something else is very happy and cheerful. And for a change, it's our friend the Pharisees. You'll remember the Pharisees, the leaders of the temple, the ones that Jesus has had quite a run-in with during his time of ministry, his 3 years, because he challenged their authority. The Pharisees are supposed to be the ones that the Jews look up to, the ones that they go to for answers to questions, the ones they go to for teaching. They're the ones that are supposed to have the highest position. And this chap called Jesus has come along and challenged that. And he's getting bigger crowds and more attention than the Pharisees are. And the Pharisees are upset. And you'll know all through the New Testament, all through the Gospels, the number of run-ins that Jesus has with the Pharisees. So the Pharisees will have been caught up in the crowd and they will have seen what was going on. And they're not impressed. They really are not impressed. And they turn to Jesus and say to him, "Tell your disciples, tell the crowds to keep quiet. Don't make all this noise." And Jesus just replies very simply, "I tell you that if I ask the crowd to keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The whole earth will cry out. You ain't going to shut this lot up." They're praising God. They're shouting for God. They're realizing the truth. And Jesus carries on into Jerusalem, into this Holy Week. And then if you look at the Gospels, there's all different accounts of what happens during the Holy Week. We know that he goes up to the temple, into the temple courtyards, and sees what mankind has done to the temple courtyards. He throws over the moneylenders' tables and says, "You've turned this into a house of thieves rather than a house of prayer." He spends time with his disciples. He heads towards the Passover meal for Maundy Thursday, the very special meal that we'll look at on Thursday, where he then takes that and changes that because somebody is going to betray him, one of his disciples, Judas. He then goes out, he's arrested, put on false trial, and then led away to die on the cross for us, which we celebrate on Good Friday, and it is a celebration. And then Sunday, Easter Sunday, 3 days later, we find the glorious news that God has overcome the power of death. He raised Jesus from the death to give us new life and eternal life, which is why next Sunday we take that cross, we strip it bare. We bring in cut flowers. We put cut flowers on there. And that goes out as a witness to our community that Jesus is alive and loves everyone. This is a most momentous week. Today marks the beginning of this beginning of the week. So today, as we remember and give thanks for Jesus' continued commitment to his Father and our Father, that as he entered into Jerusalem, the crowd sung and shouted for joy. Let us also join that crowd today, singing for joy, focusing on the joy, but remembering that later in the week, that same crowd shouted for Jesus' sacrifice. Our challenge this week is more than usual, I feel, to spend time with God each day, giving thanks for what he went through this week for us mere sinners. But through God's amazing grace, he loves us. And he invites us to the foot of the cross to forgive us our wrongs, to give us new life. As we go from this place today, let us shout for joy and sing that God loves us, that we know God loves us, and that we can share that love with other people around us in this week and this coming time. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that today we remember your triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that everybody shouted and sung your praises. And Lord, we ask that in this coming week, we get a chance to shout and sing your praises, to share your love, to tell people around us what Easter means to us, the real meaning of Easter. And we ask, Lord, that we have the courage, the wisdom and the strength to do your will this week. For we ask this in your name. Amen.